Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, crew? It is Friday. Oh, dogs, don't do this to me. All right, before we jump into this, I do have an announcement. Even though somehow we managed to forget that there was a time difference, we did get the crypto chat episode recorded yesterday, so I got another interview in the bag, which I think we will be releasing on Tuesday of this coming week. So not this episode, but two episodes out. And I think it's going to be a really fun one. We've been trying to schedule this one for a while, so it's good to actually have finally gotten him on the show. And just keep an ear out for that one. Don't miss next Tuesday's episode. I think it's going to be a really, really fun one. All right, but right now today, since it's Friday, I figured this would be a good time to hit one from Tony Sheng. You can follow him on Twitter at just at Tony Sheng, and that's S-H-E-N-G. He's involved with Decentraland. He's written two specifically that I've been looking at about games, about video games and crypto adoption. Because it's kind of a running thing that, you know, people think that there's kind of a marriage there that could happen. And I've been kind of exploring that. I'm curious if that will work, if there is really a huge value proposition there for that market. And I think he makes a lot of good points. And in addition, I want to explore the topic a little bit and see what we can sort out. And I want to talk about specifically where I think that system would fail, but where it could be valuable, because it is an interesting idea of one of his articles is called Sound Digital Goods. And that's a very interesting concept, and I think it does have value somewhere. Like, I think there's something to it, but let me let Tony Sheng kind of do the talking here, and then we will jump in and discuss after. So this is his article that he released very recently, and this is actually the second that he's written on it, and we may go back and hit the first one. This one is titled, If Games Drive Crypto Mass Adoption, They Will Be Grassroots. And you can find this on his website, which is just his name, TonySheng.com. All right, let's jump in. There's a meme that games will drive mass adoption of crypto. Fred Wilson and Chris Dixon have said it. People coming out of ETH SF this year seem to believe it. Smart contract protocol ecosystem funds have been paying for games, and investors have been funding them. The data tells two separate stories. First, games do account for the majority of non-exchange transactions. And second, total usage is still disappointingly low. Unfortunately, projecting adoption from current trends does not get us to mass adoption. Believers of the games driving mass adoption narrative anticipate something big and new to happen. Something like a AAA game company swapping all their assets out for ERC-20s and ERC-721s, for example, Fortnite using crypto. Or an original crypto game going viral, for example, the next Fortnite using crypto. Begin tweet by Ryan Sean Adams. Fortnite V-Bucks as ERC-20 and Fortnite skins as ERC-721s would instantly add 80 million crypto users, 3 times Coinbase. The tech is here, no scaling required. Fortnite may never do this, but the next Fortnite might. There are many positive black swans for crypto if you know where to look. End tweet. There are compelling reasons why gamers would prefer crypto goods and cryptocurrencies. I argued this in Sound Digital Goods. All things equal, a gamer should prefer ERC-721s or ERC-20s to rows in a company's database. But as I noted, all things are not equal. Quote, while users should prefer sound digital goods like they prefer sound money, incumbents are unlikely to support adoption. End quote. In this post, I explore why incumbents like Fortnite are unlikely to support crypto and what the next Fortnite could look like. Epic incentives. The dominant and fastest growing business model for games is in-app purchases. There's usually a currency or two, for example, V-Bucks, and some in-game items that are earnable or purchasable. Take Fortnite as an example. Users can earn and buy items, cosmetics, and emotes. To buy items, users first buy the Fortnite in-game currency, V-Bucks, and items are non-transferable and tied to accounts. Epic makes money when users buy V-Bucks, so their incentive is to drive purchases of V-Bucks. The demand for V-Bucks is driven by the demand for the items V-Bucks can purchase. There is no sanctioned secondary market where users can sell their stuff to other users, but rare Fortnite stuff has real-world value. You can even find Fortnite accounts for sale on the women's clothing marketplace Poshmark. However, Epic does not allow these secondary market trades and will ban accounts if they believe a secondary market trade took place. These restrictions are among the common complaints Fortnite players have. Others? I can't get my items from one account to another. I wish I could sell my stuff. I'm frustrated they're selling more of a previously rare item, and I wish I could buy something that's not currently for sale. Liquidity, ownership, and scarcity-perfect problems for crypto to solve. But these restrictions are not accidental. They are the foundation of the Fortnite business model. By controlling supply, Epic can maximize sales of each individual item. By preventing liquidity in secondary markets, Epic ensures virtually all transactions are with them. Solving these user pains with crypto are against Epic's interest. Let's go through some examples. Imagine that a game is selling a skin to its users. They decide to sell some number of them for some price. To start, they sell S0 of them for P$0. Total revenue is the product of S0 and P0. They sell out quickly and realize that demand was greater than they expected. D represents how much a user is willing to pay for the skin at a given quantity. Begin charts. What he's actually got here is pretty much a supply and demand curve, except that the demand is the actual line on the graph, whereas price, rather than being an equilibrium point between the two, is moved to the y-axis, because in this case, the price is fixed, so we're trying to determine how much supply of it will result in how many people purchasing it. So what that ends up with is a demand line, which just says, essentially, with supply lower, people are willing to buy more of it at the price that they set, and then as they increase the supply, you get a linear decrease with the amount of people who will actually pay for it. End charts. It's important to note, this curve is hard to perceive prior to gathering market data, which is why pricing is such a hard job. But selling out quickly and observing unmet demand suggests that wherever the curve is, it's above where the game makers thought. They left money on the table. All right, so back to the chart. It just shows that where they were not meeting the demand line, they had essentially two other options. They could have increased the supply at the price that they were selling, or they could have increased the price and kept the digital good more rare, kept its supply low. End chart. To maximize revenue, they should raise prices or raise supply, or both. If they raised prices, the brown arrow, selling the same quantity, they'd have revenue of S0, the supply, original supply, times P1, the new price. Unfortunately, it's hard to go back to customers that already bought it for P0, the initial price, and ask them to pay more. If they raised supply, the purple arrow, while keeping the price the same, they'd have revenue of supply 1, the second supply, times P0, the initial price. This is easier to do after the fact, but they risk upsetting customers that assumed a fixed supply of S0, or the initial supply. Okay, enough Econ 101. Can you guess which strategy Epic takes? They increase the supply. The key here, for Fortnite skins, supply is fake scarce. They can and do inflate the supply to maximize revenue. For something that is real scarce, you cannot raise supply. You're stuck at S0. Think tickets to a show, fixed number of seats, or priceless paintings, or bitcoins. For the firm, adjusting the price is harder than adjusting the supply, especially for digital goods. Switching game assets to scarce crypto goods prevents the firm from adjusting. So, no, ERC-721 Fortnite skins are not coming to a PC bang near you. Secondary markets. What if Epic took a cut of all secondary market transactions? Could that make it worth switching to crypto? Here's how it would work. You sell something for price P0, initial price. The market is actually willing to pay P1, a second price. A volume of transactions, V, occur on the secondary market. If you control the secondary market, you take a fee, F, on each one. So in addition to the retail revenue, the initial supply, S0, times the initial price, P0, you also get secondary market revenue of V times P1, or the second price, times F, the fee. So your total revenues are retail revenue plus secondary market revenue. If these total revenues, retail and secondary, are greater than what you would have made if you had optimized your initial pricing to P1, the second optimal retail revenue, then a secondary market is worth it. By and large, a secondary market is good for things that have real scarcity and not as good for things that have fake scarcity. A secondary market has been shown to substantially decrease profits from direct sales, but a secondary market may also lead to transactions that would have otherwise not occurred. This is why we've seen Ticketmaster, real scarcity, try to control the secondary market for their tickets. In apparel, startups like GOAT and StockX have seen massive success, so I'd expect fashion retailers to seek ways to capture value from their secondary markets as well. Most retailers don't capture value from the secondary market. In crypto goods, it's even harder to imagine the creators controlling the secondary, though I have seen many projects attempting to program crypto goods so that each transaction kicks back a fee to the creator. It will be interesting to see whether users adopt this. So, while secondary markets are very interesting, they work best for real scarcity, and Epic isn't motivated to add real scarcity to their game. Path to mass adoption. In sum, there's no reason for Epic or any other incumbent game company to replace their game items with crypto goods, or their game currency with cryptocurrencies. If the next Fortnite has similar business incentives, they will not want to use crypto goods or cryptocurrencies either. So if games bring crypto to the masses, they will have different business models. For example, a collectibles game like CryptoKitties, an economic or game theory game like FOMO3D or Pixel Master, a gambling game like EOS Bet. These games either have real scarcity or economic games at their core. They're designed with the benefits and costs of crypto in mind. Some people play these games even though they are inconvenient to play. For these players, the benefits of using crypto outweigh the substantial inefficiencies. I wrote about that relationship here. More people will play games like this when they're more fun, but finding more fun might not be enough to reach the masses. Crypto games still face substantial headwinds in basic user experience, for example, key management, and distribution. For example, a crypto goods game can't distribute in the App Store. but these are solvable problems. There's spectacular velocity of experimentation in the crypto gaming space. Many talented artists, designers, and producers are leaving AAA game companies to build in this space. Mass adoption could happen from this grassroots community if they can find the fun, reduce the pain, and overcome distribution challenges. The environment for crypto games is the same as other crypto use cases. Incumbents aren't likely to embrace it. It's inconvenient to use. Most ideas are bad. But if you can find something fun and useful that can't be done without crypto, you might have something awesome. All right, and that will close out Tony Shang's article, If Games Drive Crypto Mass Adoption, They Will Be Grassroots. And I think he's made a lot of great points in here. It's so hard to know, my kind of tendency at this point is to just think of everything as a shit coin. But I can't help but think that there's something here because we do have tons. He's right. I think a rare digital good can have a degree of value. That's how Bitcoin started, was just as a collectible. But all of these games have these V-Bucks or their gems or their riot points or whatever it is. This is becoming a huge video game model to have the game itself be free, but then sell an in-game currency that allows you to buy skins and add-ons for your characters or a new game mode or, something, similar along the lines. I'm sure anybody listening to this has probably played a game or at least seen a game like that. Pretty much some of the biggest games in the world right now are using this model now. This is a huge thing that has happened. And it's becoming, if I'm not mistaken, I think he says it in this thing, it's becoming the dominant means of funding a game, which is really, really crazy when you think about it. But when they actually do it, I don't think I have played a single or seen a single one that does not offer a discount for buying their currency in bulk. So as soon as you start talking about crypto goods, that goes out the window. So a huge means of incentivizing people to spend larger amounts in order to, get more for their money, that pretty much goes out the window. Unless maybe you program that into a crypto, but that doesn't quite make any sense if it's actually a scarce currency. So that's one of the first things to consider as being off the table. And I think that's a major player because I think League of Legends, I played that for a long time, number of years, four years maybe, pretty much ongoing. Had a group of friends and we would just play it constantly. I got crazy addicted to that game and I probably spent, $60 or $70 on that game in total. But I would never buy the $5 or the $10 package. I think I bought a $20 one and like a $50 one maybe. And it was specifically because I was thinking, oh, I just wanted this one skin, but if I'm going to do it, I know I'm going to play this game for the next year. So I'll spend on this $50 package and get, 30% more points. And then I'll just save it for every single time they have a skin I want in their sale thing. And then I would just hold on to those points. And so I could get 10 skins out of it, rather than just 5 by waiting for the good skins to go on sale, which took like every month. I had to wait for the cycle. And my little batch of $50 worth of points, whatever, would last me a year, year and a half. But I'd get, a bunch more skins out of it than I would have if I had spent $5 and just gotten one skin. So there's a lot of that at play. That was a big incentive for me of trying to figure out how to get the most out of my money and how much was I willing to spend on this game. I felt stupid for spending more than I would have spent on another game. But honestly, I don't think I've ever played any other game as much as I did in League of Legends. That was a crazy, crazy, crazy time consuming game. So I feel like $70 isn't too embarrassing to have blown on that one. But I think I got addicted there at some point. I had to just cold turkey that game, and I have not gone back. I got angry at it one day after playing for 5 hours and like straight one night. And I was furious, and I realized I had just spent 5 hours on this stupid game and ended it unhappy. Unhappy. I did not enjoy myself for the entire 5 hours. I was just trying to get my first win of the day, as it was called, for their stupid experience points or whatever that I could spend on stuff. And it was that night that I just kind of wrapped my head around the whole thing and realized just how stuck I was in this little cycle of incentives to just get these stupid points and have one win every single day. So I would constantly play it and feel like I needed to play it at least one game or two games every single day. And I was like, all right, I'm out. Sorry, guys. We're going to have to find some other way to hang out. And I just uninstalled the game. But that tangent aside, my point is, I don't think that crypto model would have worked very good in the League of Legends situation, specifically because of how well, like Tony Shang says, the control of the supply is how they make so much revenue. But with a rare crypto goods, it would be interesting to see. It would be very, very interesting to watch a game if it got massively, like if it was fun enough that it became a hugely played game and had actual scarce crypto goods, and maybe rather than just like a transaction fee, they had something where these particularly rare items that maybe a percentage of a resell attached to a crypto value was then sent to the game developers, like, you know, it's like a 2% fee or whatever. It would be really interesting to see, because the more valuable they could make the item and the more fun they could make the game, the more a scarce, like, let's say it's like World of Warcraft or something, you've got like some sword where there are only 10 of them, or you've got a probably what would make the most sense is to have a probabilistic generation, like a generator for these items. I mean, that's what they have in a lot of these games, like the card games or whatever, like the amount of cards of any type that you're expected to pull out of a chest, you know, rare, super rare, you know, legendary, all that shit, have something similar to that with the crypto goods, because it wouldn't make sense to keep the supply like crazy strict for, you know, it wouldn't make sense to have 10 ultimate swords when you have 100,000 players, and then have those same 10 ultimate swords when you have 50 million players. So I think there's a lot of dynamic there that can be programmed into crypto and could be interesting. But again, it's one of those things where, is it even worth it for the developers? I think Tony is right that the model would have to change. There has to be some new game funding model, which this one, the current one that is so profitable, is a new game model. Offer the game for free and do all these in-app purchases. And that was not really possible before the explosion of connected, always connected to the internet devices and games. And, you know, iOS, like everybody's got a smartphone that's always connected in their pocket. Like before that world was here, before that technology was adopted, that model was never viable. You couldn't do that during dial-up days. Maybe there is another model out there that will slowly come into being, and it will be a huge hit. One area where I think, one type of game where I think most aligns as it currently is with the idea of a scarce digital good and a crypto style economic system, in a sense, is like card playing games, like the one by Hearthstone and Duelist or Pokemon or whatever it is. I know there's a lot of different ones out there. Clash of Clans is one I played on my phone for a little while. But their models go best with the design of like a crypto, in the sense that you could have a smart contract that generates these cards at a random rate, and you have to call to the network, to open a chest or whatever it is, however you acquire cards in the game. And then you have specifically rare cards, like I said earlier, you have rare, legendary, so on and so forth. And people can trade them, but they trade them on trade or purchase them, and they trade them on the exchanges have some built-in fee going back to the developers. But even when I try to think of all the things that sound crypto-related and make sense with a scarce digital good, I still think it's like, does it make any sense to, like, why are you running a crypto node instead of just running a server? You know, like, if the game collapses and the developers go away, it's not going to be worth anything anymore. So there's still this big if. I think people need to figure out why. Well, like he said, there needs to be some sort of thing that you can't do without crypto. And honestly, not 100% sure what that would be. I think there's a lot of stuff that looks similar, and particularly with like the card games being introduced into kind of seeing the introduction of augmented reality, where you can like play these little cards and then, you know, hold it up on your table and see the characters fight each other. I think the fact that that market is growing is probably an opportunity to play around with whether or not crypto would be any good. Maybe you could have a proof of authenticity of cards or something like that, by checking it on the blockchain so people can't make fake cards. I don't know if people even do that. You'd have to have a really, really popular game for that to even be a thing. But anyway, I don't know. I don't want to go on. I don't want to ramble on too long about this. It's just a really interesting concept, and I hope somebody figures something out. I hope there is some sort of a value proposition there that I'm just failing to imagine. Because it seems like it seems like it fits too well for something not to be there, you know? There's got to be an opportunity there that no one has seen yet, or no one has managed to grab in a way with a viable game or a really popular game yet. And you know, like where people talk about shitcoins being stupid and useless and utility tokens being dumb, at the same time, like, you know, like there's a great argument for the fact that having to have an in-game currency, like having an altcoin to use a program or something, is a really bad user experience. Like there's a really good argument for that, but all of these games have their own in-game currencies. So yeah, it's a little bit annoying, but it works for a game that people are already drawn to and choose to play. So if they can somehow adapt this free-to-play model with some sort of a benefit with a quote-unquote utility token, maybe there's something there. I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts, drop it into the comments on cryptoeconomy.life, because I would love to hear somebody else's take on this. Or, of course, drop it into the Twitter post, because I think this is a really cool discussion. And I'm sure somebody listening has some sort of a good point that could either bolster or trash the argument that crypto will be valuable for this, that there might be some sort of a new industry or new use case here that we're not seeing, or that hasn't been tapped into yet. So, feel free to jump on cryptoeconomy.life and drop me a comment if you think you have an idea on it. And in the meantime, don't forget to follow Tony Shang on Twitter if you want to keep up to date on what they're doing with Decentraland and just crypto gaming in general, because he does seem to post about that quite a bit. And he's got a lot of other good stuff to read that I think has some intriguing points in it that are definitely worth exploring. So with that, We will close this one here. Again, don't forget to follow Tony Shang. I will tag him in this post so you can find him on Twitter. And I will link to his page, TonyShang.com. That's S-H-E-N-G. And don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Twitter, Mastodon, and Medium. And then Crypto Economy Guy on Instagram. I need to just put all those links in one place so you can see all my social medias. And if you would like to support the show, you can always donate to my Bitcoin address, and that is a huge help. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Share it with people that you know in the crypto space. It is a huge, huge help, guys, for any time that you're sharing or doing anything like that to get this show out there and exposed to more people. So they too can listen to all the cool articles and interviews and conversations. And of course, my super important opinion on all of these topics. Tell them to check out the Crypto Economy podcast. I'll be here reading as always. All right, guys. I think that's it. And if you want to buy your Trezor, use my affiliate link. Sends a couple of bucks to me. Doesn't cost you anything else. Thank you to everyone who has donated or tried to support the show in the past. And until then, check out the website at cryptoeconomy.life. I got plenty of things more to come. And don't miss Tuesday's episode. I've got an interview you don't want to miss. It is going to be a fun one. Until then, guys, have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend. And I will catch you back here on Monday with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.